I choose joy. You're going to be going to John, the 15th chapter. So if you have your phones or you have your Bibles with you, just head that way. John, the 15th chapter. There isn't anything that's going to steal our joy. You got to fight for joy. You really do. You have to fight for joy because you're in a world that has a lot of things that are happening. And if you're not willing to fight for it and be willing to choose joy on a daily basis, your emotions, your feelings, the media, the Facebook, the Twitter, and all those other sources are going to steal your joy from you, your ability to be able to enjoy God and be able to enjoy life. And Jesus said, I came that you would have life, that you would have it in abundance to the full until it overflows. And so it's important. You're going to have tribulations, he said. You're going to have trouble. You're going to have those things. But choose to be joyful in Christ Jesus. Choose to accept him and receive the joy that he's given you. So John chapter 15, the joy of the Lord is my strength. My mother would sing that all the time. She would say, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And this is so true because nothing really brings joy like the deep abiding assurance that no matter what comes your way, no matter what happens, that God is with you. There's nothing like that confidence that you have in God. It's not just a happy feeling for the moment, you know, where you feel happy about some joyous occasion, though that is a sense of joy. It is this deep abiding assurance that no matter what happens, because you have a relationship with God and he is your Savior and he is your God, that nothing can really take your joy from you. You can give it away if you want to. You can decide to be depressed. You can decide to be discouraged. You can decide to live in torment, in doubt, in fear, in unbelief. That's your choice. It's your decision. But I love that song because it says, ain't nobody gonna steal my joy. Well, don't give it away either. Don't allow people to steal your joy. Don't allow circumstances to steal your joy. I want to read to you about what Jesus said in John chapter 15. It's one of my favorite chapters in the Bible. It's one of my very favorites because I feel like if you can get this, then you can have the assurance and have a knowledge and an understanding that God is always with you and that as long as you abide in him, no circumstance, no situation can ever defeat you, not even death itself. So let's read John chapter 15. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Any branch in me that does not bear fruit, that stops bearing, he cuts away, he trims off, he takes away, and he cleanses and repeatedly prunes every branch that continues to bear fruit to make it bear more and richer and more excellent fruit. You are cleansed and pruned already because of the word which I have given you, the teachings that I discussed with you. Dwell in me, and I will dwell in you. Live in me, and I will live in you. Just as no branch can bear fruit of itself without abiding and being unitedly connected to the vine, neither can you bear fruit unless you abide in me. I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever lives in me and I in him bears much abundant fruit. However, apart from me, cut off from vital union with me, you can do nothing. If a person does not dwell in me, he is thrown out like a broken off branch and withers. Such branches are gathered up and thrown into a fire and they are burned. If you live in me, abide vitally united to me and my words remain in you and continue to live in your hearts, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done for you. When you bear and produce much fruit, my Father is honored and glorified, and you show and prove yourselves to be true followers of mine. I have loved you just as the Father has loved me. Abide in my love. Continue in his love with me. If you keep my commandments, if you continue to obey my instructions, you will abide in my love and live on in it, just as I have obeyed my Father's commandments and live on in his love. I have told you these things that my joy and delight may be in you, and that your joy and gladness may be of full measure and complete and overflowing. Listen to the beauty of that relationship. That is a relationship of a constant awareness that God is in me and that I am living for him. It is an abiding relationship. And he's saying, out of that intimacy, out of that deep place with me, because you're abiding with me, because you're listening to me, because you're hearing me, and my word is in you, and you're following my commandments, and you're doing all that I have commanded you to do by my strength and my power through the Holy Ghost, I am with you, and you are with me. We are one. This was the prayer that Jesus prayed in John 17, that we would be one as even the Father and the Son are one. This abiding union, out of that union, out of that love, out of that intimacy with God, out of that sharing of hearts, out of that going to the Father, out of that being under the shadow of his wing, out of that love that you have for him because of the sacrifice he was willing to give, this beautiful harmony of abiding and staying under the shadow and being with God, out of that place comes a joy like you have never known from any tangible thing that this world can ever provide for you. There is a great sense of joy when you know your God. When you know that in every circumstance and in every situation, that not only is he never going to leave you, but that you can do nothing without him. That is a joyful place. Jesus would often escape to the gardens. He would go to the gardens when the crowds were pressing on him and when people would be coming to him for all of their various needs. It was on a continual basis when they saw him do the miracles, when they saw him speak the words that he did with power and authority, when they saw all of these marvelous things, they would pull from him everything that he had, drawing from him all that he had. He would often leave that place of giving out all the time, and he would go into a garden. It was common for him to go to Gethsemane. It was common for him to go to these places where he would abide under the shadow of God the Father. He would draw all of his strength from God the Father through the Spirit. He would be with him and spend time with him. If Christ himself, who was equal to God, who was the manifestive person of God, had to go and be with the Father, how much more should we be with the Father? He knew that his joy and his delight was in him. He said, "Lo, here am I, come to do your will." There was a delight in him going to God. There was a delight in him obeying God. That delight, that when he speaks of commandments, he's saying, I want you to follow the commandments. Why? Because doing the will of God and obeying God and his commandments and fulfilling the purposes of God's heart when you're in union and relationship with him is delightful. My children are they're all different and they're all unique. But let me give you an example. All of my children want affirmation. They all want to know that they're loved. They all want to know that they're accepted. They all want to know that their gifts and their talents within them are recognized, that their person is appreciated. I have found the most delight out of looking at my children and saying, oh, this one's gifted in this, and this one can do this one, and this one can do that one, and seeing them in that sweet place doing those things that bring joy and delight to their hearts makes me happy. That makes me happy. It makes me joyful. How much more joyful is there knowing that God approves of you through Christ and that He Himself delights in you, that He delights in your person, that He made you uniquely, that there's no one like you in the entire world. And my children want to do everything they can to make me happy and to please me because that is so important to them that they're approved. Christ Himself said that for the joy for the cross that was set before Him, He would endure it. He would endure that cross to have the joy and the pleasure of pleasing the Father, the joy and the pleasure of doing all that God had put Him here on the earth to do. He talks of that in Hebrews. So there's this, He said for the joy, Hebrews 12 and 2, He said for the joy set before Him, He endured the cross. His joy came because He did the will of the Father. That brought Him great joy. And because I believe it with all my heart that it pleased Him to do the will of the Father because He loved the Father more than He loved anything else, anyone else. And it brought joy to Him to do the will of the Father, even the sacrifice of His own body, because He saw the faces of all the people that would come to Christ because of His sacrifice, and that brought Him joy. He saw your face and my face and the faces of all that would believe and accept and welcome Christ as the atoning sacrifice for their sin. He saw you. And He said it was worth the cost. That brought great joy. When you're in a deep and intimate relationship with God, He also talks about in this chapter about bearing fruit. He talks about how that when you are abiding with God and God is abiding with you, that there is fruit that is produced. It's impossible to have a deep and intimate relationship with God and not bear fruit. You're going to bear fruit. And when you bear fruit, what you're doing is you're showing God off in your life. And that brings you joy. That brings you joy, and that brings the Father joy. When you make His life your own, that is true joy. It's not just a fleeting feeling. It's not just something that passes. There is a beautiful, beautiful assurance that says, I am the child of God and my Father loves me. And that joy in that relationship is stabilizing. It's firm. It's solid. It's unmovable. I love this harmony in this scripture, in this text about abiding with the Lord, because that's my sweet spot. is where I can be with God. There is joy in His presence. In His presence, there is joy. There is fullness. There is love there. There is acceptance there, regardless of what anybody else says in the entire world. In His presence, there is this the sense of well-being. I'm okay. I can make it through anything. I'm unique. I'm accepted. I'm beloved in the Beloved. And I love being with Him. And that's exactly what Jesus is describing, this beautiful picture of love that comes through time with God, of joy that comes through being with Him, that this world's tangible things cannot give you. God gave us beautiful emotions. And yes, those add to our joy. We're able to sense that presence of God, and that brings joy. These emotions, though, at times, if we follow their leadings all the time, can lead us down a dead-end street. But if the Holy Spirit and the emotions unite, we even have a greater enhancement of the joy that comes in serving God and loving Him and being with Him. Laughter, happiness, hope. All of those things bring such joy. They enhance the joy that God has already given us. There are joy thieves. Things that come into your life that try to steal your joy. And you have to guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it flows the issues of life. There are joy thieves. Spirits of the enemy that can steal your joy. What are these things that can come along in your life that if you don't guard your joy and if you don't choose joy, will steal your joy? The cares of the world. The concerns of everyday life. You know the parable when Jesus talked about the sower, how he scattered the seed out on the ground. And the birds came and devoured the seed. Different things came along that stole the seed. And one of them was the cares of this world, the concerns, the frustrations that we allowed to overtake us, the cares of this world. They choke out the word of God. The cares of this world, the things that are on television all the time, telling us, well, tomorrow this is going to happen, and this may happen, and this is World War III, and this is all these things, the pressing issues of finances, the pressing issues of all the things that are bombarding us on a 24-hour-a-day period, these pressures of the world, they choke out the Word of God, which chokes out our joy. Like snuffing out a candle. It robs us of our ability to be able to be joyful in spirit. I would hear many of the old people in church talk about how that they look like they've swallowed vinegar and ate lemon juice. Because there's no joy. Where is the joy in the house of God? Where is the delight of coming to the house of God and the joy when you get there? This isn't a show. It's not a performance. This is real life. I'm not up here performing. I don't come to church just to take up space. I come here because I want to be with my brothers and sisters. I want to be with them and worship Christ with them and pray with them and see their faces and hear about their lives and be a part of their lives and they be a part of mine. This brings me great joy. I come to worship God together because we place our trust in Him. If you place all your confidence in me, you will be disappointed. But if you place your trust in God, you will not be brought to a place of reproach, He will make a way for you. He will show you what to do, tell you what to do, lead you, guide you. And if you continue to believe and trust Him, the more you believe and have faith in God, the more joyful you become regardless of your circumstances. They can't steal your joy. This lack of spending time with God, even in corporate settings, we just want to come in and do the format. Just follow the order of service, Rebecca. Just do the format. Cursed be the format. I'm not interested in it. You know what I'm interested in? Touching the face of God. Seeing Him on your face. Knowing that you heard something from God today, you saw something from God today that was going to give you the grace and the strength to make it through the week. That was going to give you the ability to be able to stand when the storms came or the trouble came and still believe and have confidence in the Lord. That like Job, you can throw up your hands and says, the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away, but blessed be the name of the Lord. That you can look at death and yet see life. That is God. That is the joy of the Lord. That you can stand like Job did at the graves of his 10 children and still stand there and say, I will not deny my God. That is joy. Joy through tears. Joy through perseverance. Joy and trust in God. Why can he be like that? Why can he have that confidence? Because death doesn't snuff out their life, because there is life beyond the grave. We will all die, every single one of us. And if you don't have the joy and the confidence of eternal life, then you have every reason today to be sorrowful. But I have a God who says that the dead in Christ shall rise at the trumpet blast. And we which are alive and remaining shall arise, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. And this brings me great joy. That I will see my mama again. I will see my family members that have went on before of me. That I'm going to be able to sit down with John and Paul, and I'm going to see the face of Christ. Brings me joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We, of all people, have such hope. We should be spreading joy everywhere because we have hope, because we have Christ. Don't let the joy thieves, the cares of life, choke out the word of God. Because if they choke out the word of God, they choke out your foundation that you stand on. We must develop and appreciate the joy that comes in spending time with God, knowing His word. Negative thinking. Your mind at times will be assaulted because of all the things around you. People that you work with, radio, things that you're listening to, things that you're allowing into your heart and your spirit has the ability to be able to cause you to lose your joy. I don't listen to the television. For a time, I'm starting to even be aware of the fact that you can get on Facebook and read everybody's post and be depressed. That you can listen to too much news. That even if you listen to sad and depressive music, the next thing you know, you're sad and you're depressed. Why would we do that? Why would we allow ourselves to participate in the functions of the world that only bring sorrow? You say, but is there a time for sorrow? Of course there is. Solomon says there's a season, there's a time for everything. There is a time to grieve. I grieved when I lost my mother. I've grieved And that's normal. But to stay in long periods of sorrow and not be able to see that there's life beyond the grave for the believer, or to stay in a place that's low and depressive, that comes by choice. Shake yourself. David was discouraged at Ziklag. The enemy had invaded the camp. They had come in while he was on a raid, and they had been raided themselves. They took their wives. They took their children and all of their possessions. The men were so wrought and distraught. They were in grieving, and you could only imagine the groans and the moans as they shouted out. They wanted to stone David. They wanted to come against their leader because they were in such grief and despair. Their children, their sons, their daughters, their wives. David said, I don't know what to do. I've got to go to God. I'm going to have to encourage myself in the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. He ran into that place with God. And God at that time, he said, do I pursue? And he said, pursue. It was in that time, that abiding in the secret place of God, that coming to God, that in that place of distress, that God was able to restore David's confidence, give him the ability and the strength to be able to get up and to continue on. He ended up recovering all of his possessions, his family, his children, his wives. Sometimes you have to encourage yourself. You can't look to the pastor to do it. You can't look to anyone else to try to be a source of your joy. Your joy is in the Lord. Your joy is in God Himself. And if you are going to look around you and say, well, this person has to come into my life, for all the single people out there looking for someone to come into their life and bring and make your life happy, when you get them, you'll find something else is wrong with them. Because we're not perfect people. Your joy and your delight is in God. And then God says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Your joy is in serving God, and everything else is affected by your relationship with God. Everything. You can handle storms. You can handle adversity. You can handle trouble. You can handle things that won't change. You can handle anything when you are in the presence of the Almighty God, and He is your sustaining life and joy. Negative thinking always. As a man thinketh, so is he, the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 7. We've talked about sad, oppressive music. We used to hear that all the time growing up. We were raised Pentecostal. It wasn't nothing for Mama to take those tapes and just string them out. She would not allow us to listen to some of those worldly music. And if she found them, you'd have that. You remember it shows my age, but you remember the tapes. She'd pull all those tapes out, and there'd just be those. There's something to that, isn't there? I didn't understand. I was too young and immature to understand. Not all music is bad. There are great artists that bring forth beautiful songs that are out there that you can listen to that are not destructive or they're not damaging. There's beautiful love songs. I'm not against that. I'm not saying all you have to listen to is Christian music. But I do believe you have to guard your heart and be careful what you allow in. Sad, oppressive music. He who sings songs to a heavy heart is like him who lays off a garment in cold weather. Proverbs 25 and 20. a joyful song. All of a sudden, we were playing Zach Williams songs and, you know, old church choir, ain't nobody gonna steal my joy. And we were just, Lana's standing up and she's clapping her hands and my sister's back there and she's rejoicing. Why? Because a beautiful song is like words spoken in times and seasons of refreshing when you need to hear it. It's exciting. It's joyful. It helps stimulate the Spirit of God inside of you. Be careful what you listen to. Another thief, a joy thief, is doubt and unbelief, a lack of faith in God. Hebrews 11 and 6 says, without faith, it is impossible to please God because you must believe that He is and a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. Any time I have a prophecy, a promise from God, a word, something I'm believing for, trusting in through the Lord, and I begin to doubt and waver that word of God to me, I become depressed. I become confused. I become disoriented. Doubt, unbelief, not only are they sinful, but they're hurtful. Hurtful to ourselves. And then how can we encourage others when we ourselves are discouraged? Doubt, unbelief, a lack of faith. Dangerous. They steal your joy. But as soon as I get back into that place of faith, as soon as I get back into that place of trust and belief, all of a sudden, that depression, that discouragement leaves. These words right here can save people a lot of time in a counselor's office. Sin will bring us to a place where we lose our joy. Blessed and happy and to be envied is he whose sins are forgiven. Why are we so joyful when we first accept Christ into our life? Do y'all remember the day when the Lord saved you? Do you remember the day and the hour and the time when you came to Christ, when you were full of sin and your life may have been a mess, or you were just aware of this emptiness inside of you, or this, and you came to Jesus and accepted Him into your life? Do you remember the joy that just flooded your soul? I'll sing it often. I remember the day when the Lord saved me. All of heaven came down and I was happy and free. Glory filled my soul. I knew that the Lord had made me whole. I will never forget the day when the Lord saved me. That's a shouting song. Joy comes when you are aware of your salvation, but a joy thief is sin that keeps you in a place of bondage. A place of deception, a place where that sin is now controlling your life. That's why Paul said, how can you who have died to sin live in it any longer? You have been set free by the blood of the Lamb. You are no longer under the control of the enemy. You do not have to habitually dwell in sin. You have been set free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Another joy thief is overworking. You're constantly working. There's never time for anything else. You work and you work and you work and you work and you never take time for a vacation. You never take time for a break. You never take time just to get away. You're constantly working. Psalms 127, 1 and 2 talks about that. Let's go there real quick. I didn't write that one down, so let's head that way. Psalms 127. Verse Psalms 127, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain who build it. Except the Lord keeps the city and the watchman wakes, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early and to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. For he gives blessings to his beloved in sleep. So he's saying it's vain for you to rise up or early, to take rest late, to eat the bread of anxious toil. You're constantly, constantly working. You go to bed late, you're up all hours of the night. You get up in the morning and you've got the day's work ahead of you. There's no time to enjoy your family, no time to spend with God, no time for anything except labor. It's a joy thief. It's also a joy thief to be lazy. On the flip side, because God made us to be producers. Lazy hands make for poverty, but diligent hands bring wealth. So an out-of-balance life. How many have ever overate? How did that feel? You feel bloated. You don't feel good. Sometimes you can get a stomach ache. Anything in your life that's out of balance has the potential to just make you feel bad. Whether it be eating, whether it be working, whether it be sin, anything out of balance, anything that's out of order has the ability to be able to hurt you. What are some joy boosters? What are things that bring joy? Well, we can flip the things that take away our joy and turn them into things that bring joy. Enjoying your time with God. I mean enjoying it. Get in the car, turn on the radio, talk to him, listen to those gospel songs, worship him there. Talk, be aware, be consciously aware of his ever-abiding presence, just like John 15 talked about. That he's always with you. There's never a time when he is not with you. And it's so interesting. When you take on that mindset, you're always talking to him. You're always engaging in conversation with him. Always aware of him. That brings great joy that he's there. Having the Holy Spirit inside of you. The Bible says in Acts 13 and 52 that the disciples were continually filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm all about the Holy Spirit. If we are neglecting anything in the church, it is the presence of the Holy Spirit, the awareness of the Holy Spirit within us and the awareness of the Holy Spirit upon us. As a corporate body and as a setting, we have shoved the Holy Spirit out of our lives. We haven't given him governorship of our life. We haven't invited him in to lead us and to guide us. And our lives would be so different if we were asking the Holy Spirit, what do you want me to do today? Or what do you want me to say? Or just have that conversation where the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding your life. There's joy in being governed by the Holy Spirit and allowing the Holy Spirit to lead and guide your life. There's joy in obeying God and bringing that obedience unto Christ. We need the joy of the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Holy Spirit. What are one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit? Joy. Positive thoughts. Having that good mental mindset. You can talk yourself out of depression. You can think positive thoughts. You can allow your thought processes to be renewed. That's why the Bible says that we're renewed. Our mind is continuously being renewed. In accordance with the Word, you're having conversations with God through the Holy Spirit. You're listening to the right music. You're studying the Word of God. All of these things are a part of retaining the joy of God's presence in your life. If you will just take a week, this is my challenge to you. Take a week, starting today, and go through an entire week and be aware of your thoughts, what you watch, who you're around, what you're listening to, the music you're listening to, the shows that you're watching, if you will just take a week and do that, you will see that there are a lot of joy thieves that you are allowing into your life. The flip side of that, if you will follow some of these guidelines of right thinking and right doing and right living, having relationship with God, worshiping Him, being in His presence, and if you will take note of that as well, you will see where your joy comes from. All joy comes from God. I heard a song recently, What Mercy Did For Me. It's a song about salvation. I know we've talked about how that when you're out of relationship with God, our lives can be very negative. But when I think about the Lord, how He saved me, how He raised me, how He filled me with the Holy Ghost, how He healed me to the uttermost. When I think about my God and my Lord, all that He's done for me, all that He endured so that I could have eternal life and so that I could be able to go into my Father's throne room, I'm just so grateful. A sense of this overwhelming love of God that says, you are valuable even to the last drop of blood in my Son's body. This overwhelming feeling that God Almighty, who created all things, who needs nothing, who is self-sufficient in His sufficiency, and yet He created people knowing that people were going to sin, knowing that they were going to make that decision, yet before the foundation of the world, He was a lamb led to the slaughter, that He would be willing to give His own life, God in human flesh on a cross, God dying for me, God giving His life for me, making His own conditions for salvation and for deliverance of His people and then fulfilling them through Himself. Come on. That is joy. That is love. Nobody has ever loved me like that. There is a joy in thinking about salvation, what He's delivered you from. Not only are you not going to hell, but you get to have the bliss of having a relationship with God Almighty. Having Him there for you all the time through the Holy Spirit. Having His word in your heart. You have the bliss of having Him hear your prayers and move in your circumstances and situations. Having Him be a true father to you. Disciplining you, correcting you. Yes, that's all a part of love. That's important. There's a joy in having God as your father. Knowing that He loved you so much and considered your life so precious to Him that He did not even spare His own Son, but gave Himself for you. Ah, that is joy. Salvation. How about just thinking about, we're getting ready to come into the seasons of Thanksgiving and the seasons when we are reflecting on the good. How about just, I have water. I mean, does that bring joy to you that you were able to take a shower? Do you know that so many parts of the world, you say, how do they get their joy? How do the Christians in other lands? Because joy doesn't come from your circumstances. It comes from God. But there are things that enhance your joy, and these things should be thought of. Food, clothing, shelter. Relationships, family, a vehicle to drive, a job to go to. I think of people often who are being martyred. How do they have joy? How do they have joy? Because joy comes from God. Jesus said, "Lo, here am I. Come to do your will." You can face any situation in life, any encounter, and have abiding joy deep in your spirit because God, Christ, the Spirit lives in you. Finally, I just want to close with Paul's words in Acts 20. If you can go to Acts 20. I think about Paul. I'm telling on my husband, and it was funny this week. He was really tired. They'd called him out a lot at work, and he had a lot of things on his plate, as he often does. And I love him and respect him so much because he is a true, genuine lover of God who often his plate is very full with situations and things that need to be done. But he was lamenting a little bit. It was overwhelming. And I looked at him and I said, "You are not a victim. You are not a victim of your circumstance. Everybody's been given 24 hours in the day. Everybody has the ability to decide what they're going to do with the 24 hours that they've been given. Jesus died from you. He rose from the dead. You have God living inside of you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. There is no circumstance that can overwhelm you today. Nothing that can take you out today. No devil that can overwhelm you. No devil that can take you out and destroy your life. You are victorious." And he just went, "All right. Yeah." Minds, words, thoughts. Joyce Myers has the greatest book called The Battlefield of the Mind. And you can if you can ever learn to master through the Holy Spirit your mind and cause it to come under subjection to the Word of God and the Spirit, your life will be completely changed. Paul says this in Acts 20. I'm going to start out in 18. Now, mind you, we know that Paul has been shipwrecked, left out in the sea. We know that he's been beaten. He gives a list of all the things that he's went through. Stoned, left out on the sea, in waters, in perils, in dangers, in troubles. Some tried to set him up as a god and some tried to destroy him. The Jewish people came against him. He often escaped those circumstances and situations by the grace and the power of the Holy Spirit. He's coming to this place where he's just wanting to reflect on this. And he's wanting to reflect on all the things that God has done. And he says in verse 18, "You yourselves are well acquainted with my manner of living among you from the first day that I set foot in the province of Asia and how I continued afterwards." So he's saying, you know about my life. You know about everything that's happened to me. You know me. "Serving the Lord with all humility in tears and in the midst of adversity, affliction, and trial which befell me due to the plots of the Jews against me. How I did not shrink from telling you anything that was for your benefit and teaching you in public meetings and from house to house, but constantly and earnestly I bore testimony both to Jew and Greeks, urging them to turn in repentance that is due to God and have faith in our Lord Jesus Christ that is due him. And now you see, I am going to Jerusalem bound by the Holy Spirit and obligated and compelled by the convictions of my own spirit, not knowing what will befall me there, except that the Holy Spirit clearly and emphatically affirms to me in every city after city that imprisonment and suffering await me. But None of these things move me. None of these things move me. Neither do I esteem my life dear to myself, if only I may finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have obtained from the Lord Jesus, faithfully attesting to the good news of the gospel of God's grace. He says, none of these things move me. Nothing, not the suffering, not where the Holy Spirit leads me into suffering, or what I have to endure, or what I have to go through, or what happens in my life. None of these things that have happened to me, none of these things that are happening to me, none of these things that will happen to me, none of it moves me. Why? I just have this deep and utter desire that through God's grace I will finish my course with joy. Joy. Having done all that God has placed me on this earth to do, having done it with all of my heart through the power of God and the Spirit of God. That, my friend, is joy. You may stand to your feet. Father, we bless you so much for the word of the Lord today. The word of the Lord is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of the Lord stands forever. Thank you for the word of God today. Thank you, O Lord, that we have heard how that no matter what happens in our life, we can have this abiding relationship with God through Christ Jesus that will bring us complete joy. We know that that does not mean that we will not suffer different things in our life or go through situations, but what it means is that we will always have the abiding presence of God within us and upon us to help us in every situation. That we have the delight of His company, the unmatchless presence of the Almighty with us. That we, like Paul, can face any situation knowing that you will be with us. Through your word, you've given us things to be aware of so the enemy cannot steal our joy. We also know that through this word today, you have given us ways to be able to keep our joy or even boost our joy to another level. And today we receive your word. It is truth. May all of those listening and watching, as they've heard about Paul's joy in preaching the gospel and about the joy that we have through Christ, may those who have that joy rejoice in your salvation. And those that are outside of that place in Christ, if you don't know the Lord and you're listening to this today and you're saying, I want to know what it's like to have God in my life and the joy of having the assurance of eternal life, the joy of having the abiding presence of God, the Holy Spirit in my life, then may you right now confess your sins. For the word of the Lord declares that if there is sin, you have the ability to be able to repent of those sins, to confess them before God, and He will be faithful and just to forgive you of all sins, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And you will rejoice in being born again. begin to work with you, the Holy Spirit and His Word, to transform your mind, to heal your soul, which is your mind, your will, your emotions. He will begin to cause you to walk a different walk and to talk a different talk and to live a different life. And there will be great joy in that journey. Father, thank you this day for reminding us that the joy of the Lord is our strength. Thank you for helping us to see the areas where we need to improve on and to give us the tools that we need to be able to walk in greater joy. We bless you and we thank you for the joy of salvation through Christ Jesus our Lord. Now bless the people, God. May they go forth in joy. May they leap like a calf from a gate. May they sing and they dance in your presence. May they be led and guided by the Holy Spirit. And may the joy of the Lord be their strength. In Jesus' name and amen. Amen.